The following is a presentation of Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Before a celebration like this,
and the 2-0 pitch, he swings and hammers. Left field and deep. Open up the gates, we're going home.
There are key decisions made every day throughout the organization and on the diamond. This is the show that gives you inside access to everything surrounding your favorite team. It's Inside Twins, brought to you by Continental Diamond, home of the best diamonds outside of Target Field. Here's your host of Inside Twins, Corey Provis.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Inside Twins. We are live here at Target Field. It's the home finale, Twins and the Mariners, one more time to wrap up this weekend series rubber game coming up at 1:10 Central Time. This program up until the bottom of the hour. Chris has the pregame show at 12:30, then Game 3 between the Twins and the Mariners. The pitching matchup will feature Hector Santiago today for the Twins and right-hander Taijuan Walker going for Seattle. I'm Corey Provis, and you can reach us two ways, by email at TwinsBaseball or InsideTwins@TwinsBaseball.com or via Twitter, hashtag InsideTwins. And our guest on the program on this Sunday afternoon is the interim GM of the Minnesota Twins. Always great to chat with Rob Antony. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Corey.
Well, Rob, we'll get to baseball. We'll get to the game, but let's begin the show, I think, where we have to today, and that's the shocking and sad news that we all learned early this morning on the passing of Jose Fernandez, such a young talent, a dominant arm, a blossoming ace in the game, and a heck of a kid, a heck of a story. Just your thoughts and your reaction when you got word and you saw the news this morning.
Well, it was shocking. You know, I guess when these things happen, the first thing you think about is, you know, the people talk about what a great pitcher he was and what he meant to the Florida Marlins and all that, but, you know, then you stop and think that he's somebody's brother and son and soon to be father, you know, it's just tragic when you lose a person like that, a young talent like that. But the game, it's one of those things where everybody in the game, it impacts in one way or another because you empathize. When everybody in our clubhouse, you think about it, could be one of our players, one of our, you know, one of their teammates, and you just never know.
Defected from Cuba at the age of 15, and his defection is worth its own segment. Just the tough ordeal that he and his family went through to defect. But he went to high school in the States. And did you have a chance to see him early in his prep career? And how much interaction did you have with the role that you've had here with the Twins now for a long time?
I did not personally scout him, but I know I was in the draft room when he was drafted. He was highly thought of, and, you know, there was no question this guy had all kinds of talent, and he had the potential to be a frontline starter, and he's one of the success stories, one of the guys who actually panned out, did all the things that you thought he might be able to do, and he really established himself as a young star in our game.
Did you have, and you watch him pitch, did he have this throwback mentality that he was tough, he had presence, he would throw inside, he hit a guy, he would also enjoy swinging the bat, that he had some flair and he had some passion? And I hear Jack and Bert talk about that a lot from their playing days. Did he have some of that too when he watched him as a player?
Yeah, we talk about the word makeup, which can be all-encompassing, but he had the competitive makeup, the guy who was out there and he had the pitches to get people out. But when he was on the mound, you could see that it was really just a battle, him and the batter, and I'm going to get you out, and I'm going to do what it needs to be done. And if you're crowding the plate or you're taking a big swing, I'll come inside on you. And those are things that you really like to see in a pitcher. You like to see somebody who nobody really wants to go up there and hit against because he's got stuff that can strike you out and can really make a hitter look bad. But also he has some of the intangibles that you like to see in a pitcher, the competitiveness, the guy that you want to go to war with, and the guy that when he takes the mound, you feel good about winning that game. And it's hard when you look at a young pitcher like that. Whenever you look at a high school player, it's so far, the journey can take a long time. His journey didn't take long because of a lot of his intangibles.
And it's something that I know all teams strive for, homegrown, and that you're not just acquiring a blossoming ace. You're not just paying handsomely for a blossoming ace, or at that point, maybe just an ace, period. Homegrown, and here was a guy that was going to be dominant for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's always extra special when you draft a player, he comes through your system, and he becomes a successful major leaguer and blossoms into a star. it's always especially gratifying for everybody who had a part in that, whether it's the scout, the scouting staff that drafted him, the player development people who helped him along the way. And they're not finished products. I've said it many times. And he got to the big leagues, and there were people in the major leagues who helped him to develop into what he became.
Only 24 years old, so tragic, and not just here at Target Field, but throughout the game today. All teams will hold a moment of silence before their respective games, and the Marlins did cancel their game with the Atlanta Braves already today in South Florida. We'll step aside and shift gears and get back to the Twins next on your home for Twins baseball.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back. Inside Twins, brought to you by Continental Diamond, home of the best diamonds outside of Target Field. The rubber game of this series coming up here today on a sunny Sunday. We do have sunshine finally here at the ballpark after a rainy week. It'll be Hector Santiago for the Twins and Taijuan Walker going for Seattle. Rob, I guess generally speaking, as we wrap up the home portion of the season today, just first off, give me your thoughts on the season as a whole. It's not over yet, still a week left to be played, but you do kind of put a cap on the home schedule after today.
Yeah, I guess the word disappointing would come to mind. We believed we were going to do much better than we did this year. We were hoping to be in contention to the very end and hopefully get into the playoffs. We came close last year, and we took a giant step backwards this year, and that's disappointing. There's a lot of things that we're going to have to look back on. We're going to have to see what we need to do differently. We're going to have to make changes, and some major changes have already taken place. So now it's up to the organization to get the right people in place and try and move forward and get us back to where we want to be.
After one of the losses this week, Brian Dozier was pretty candid. I believe this was after the second loss, the doubleheader to the Tigers, about some of the games of late. He used the word embarrassed. Is that accurate? Is he right? Is that the right thing to say?
Well, from a player's perspective, I would hope some of the players are embarrassed, because I honestly believe that some, watching the last week or two, it looks like some players are just playing the string out, and that's very disappointing. And we have a clubhouse full of what we believe should be and need to be professional players who come out every day when fans come to see them play. They owe to the fans. They have a job to do. And I know it's human nature when you're out of the race and you start to look and look forward to the season ending so that you can just start over next year. I understand that part of it, but I think it's everybody's job to continue to go out every day, do their best to try and win that game, and be prepared to try and win that game. And what some of these players don't maybe understand is that they're being evaluated. And what happens these last few weeks can go a long way towards how we judge if they're going to be part of things in the future.
I'm glad you brought up that word evaluated, because Paul did, and I saw you leaving the coach's offices, and this was before Paul's daily media session, that you did have a sit-down with the coaching staff going through basically the 40-man roster, was my understanding. I don't know how much you can reveal, but the bulk of that conversation, what did you take away, and how much dialogue was there between yourself and the coaches?
I think we had a lot of dialogue, and it was a positive for me, because we went through everybody on our roster, and we see things from, you know, up above watching the game, and we look at numbers, we look at a lot of different things, we have scouting reports, but I think it's invaluable to talk to Paul and his staff. They're in the clubhouse with these guys day in, day out, and they can give us a perspective and maybe give us some information that we don't see on a daily basis or have. And I think you need to put all that into play, and it's all part of the evaluation process. But, I think I got a pretty good idea from Paul and the coaching staff on where they stand and how they see how some players fitting, not fitting, and where we're headed going forward.
And as you went through that process, that 40-man, say you had a column. On one side, you had part of the solution. The other side, you had part of the problem. Did you have more in one column?
I think it was more a matter of who are we counting on? Who do we believe is ready and can be counted on and can be the core of our club next year and in the future? And who are guys that we don't think are part of that? Who do we need? Where do we need to upgrade? Where did we fall short this year? How close is somebody to being a reliable player for us? And or not close. So it it goes a lot deeper than that. It's not a simple, you know, left side are the good guys and right side are the bad guys. But there, you know, you talk about we have to make decisions. There's roster management. Who should stay on the 40-man roster? Who should we entertain? Maybe moving. Who doesn't fit? Who can be a fit? Who do we need to make room for? What's coming? Who do we need to put on the roster? Those types of things. You know, some of that we share with them because they don't know as much about some of the minor league players that we're going to need to add to the roster. But when we do that, how's it going to impact the roster as it stands now?
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to start with something you just said about guys that are coming, you know, during that process. Who are some guys that you think could be impactful, you know, maybe even some names, positions they play, and how impactful they could be as early as 2017? We'll get back to that. More with Rob Anthony next on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back. Inside Twins brought to you by Continental Diamond, home of the best diamonds outside of Target Field. We continue our chat with Rob Anthony. And you brought up a good topic there before the break about looking ahead to 2017. And, guys, you do have to add to the 40-man based on the Rule 5 draft that will take place in December. Who are some of the guys that are on your radar that could be impactful as early as next summer?
Well, I don't really want to get into names because okay. If we decide not to put them on the roster, it's not something that you really want to advertise to everybody else because you could lose them in the Rule 5 draft. But one of the toughest things is when you try and determine that is, number one, is that player ready to play in the big leagues? A lot of times the answer is no, but the other part of it is, could he be selected and that team be able to hide him or use him because they're in a situation where, say it's a pitcher, they can stick him in the bullpen like we did with Johan Santana. His first year, we put him out there. We used him kind of in mop-up situations, but we really liked his potential. And some players, maybe they have some versatility. They're a really good defender, but they're not ready to hit in the big leagues. You can use them as an extra outfielder or infielder. And so you really have to go through and pick out the guys that, A, you don't want to lose, but you also can't have a roster full of players who, if you need to go get somebody, you don't believe they're ready to compete in the big leagues either.
How close were you, speaking of getting somebody, when Max Kepler tweaked his neck the other day and you saw Eduardo Escobar go out to left field? Was Adam Brett Walker even an option, a guy that's on the roster while Rochester's season has been over for a couple of weeks? Was that at all a possibility?
Yeah, it was a possibility. I checked with the trainers. I had about three conversations before the game was even over with them. And when he was examined by the doctor and they termed it a very mild strain that, you know, he could be back in a day or so, then we kind of put the talk on hold. But that was the first thing that came to mind, and he would have probably been the logical guy to go get.
When minor leaguers have their seasons end and guys that aren't participating in the fall league, are they told, hey, just be ready? You know, you never know what could happen. Or do they just kind of shut it down and start eating some Cheetos?
I hope they're not on the Cheetos program right in the off season. But I think a lot of guys, you know, it's been a long season, and there's some disappointment, especially guys who are considered but aren't brought up in September, that, you know, they go home and they start to kind of break it down and give their body a little bit of a rest. So if you did have to go get a player like that, I don't think it would take them long to really kind of get back into things. And we have enough bodies that it's, you know, that player probably won't be asked to jump right into the lineup. They could come in, take BP, and probably get an opportunity maybe to get into a game or two before the season ended.
After a week from today, the Twins wrap up the season in Chicago. After that, what's next for you? What will your day be like the next day, the next week, and what you'll have to do day in and day out?
Well, we're going to have a lot of meetings, and we're going to have to discuss a lot of things. Like I mentioned earlier, there needs to be some resolution to who's going to be running our baseball operations department, and hopefully that will be resolved, and there'll be some announcement sooner rather than later. But at that point, whoever is in charge is going to have to make some decisions and start looking at their staff as well as our major league staff. We're going to have to, the day after the season, we always meet with the coaches. I plan on doing that next Monday and just talking with them. You know, but until some things are resolved, a lot of things are going to be pending.
All right. We'll take our last break, and when we come back, Rob's been in the hot seat all year, and this is something that Rob has asked to do, so we're going to try it. Rob is going to be the one leading the conversation for the last segment of the show. We'll have some fun with that as we wrap up Inside Twins with Rob Anthony next on your home for Twins baseball.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Nothing, Carolina.
Welcome back. Inside Twins brought to you by Continental Diamond, home of the best diamonds outside of Target Field. You've been requesting this now for a while. I'm going to ask you some questions, and this is your last show today as we're going to do kind of a round table with Danny, Dick, Bert, and myself next Sunday in Chicago. So, Rob, we have about 3.5 minutes. The floor is yours, my friend.
All right, question for you.
Yeah.
56 and 99. How tough is it when you're going through a game and things aren't going well like 2 days ago?
Yeah.
What do you talk about, and how do you handle that?
Well, Danny's lived a very interesting life, so we often go down that road. We try to tell a tale that, and just when you think you've pulled every onion, every layer, there's always something juicy that's out there. We keep it fun. We try to, honestly, we keep it fun, where there are three things we try and do every day: inform, educate, entertain. And sometimes the entertainment has to be put aside, like last night, because it was a very compelling, you know, quickly played game, but We try to still have some fun and share some laughs when we can.
Do you get frustrated?
Oh, yeah.
How do you keep that in check?
The other night, where were we when we gave up another late home run, another late hit? The wild pitches has been a tough one to see happen time and time again. And once in a while with the call, I just say, I can't believe that happened, or it happened again. And it's human nature, and you have to react like the fan probably is and just kind of do that once in a while.
How tough is it to work with different partners since Danny takes so many vacations during the course of the year?
Whoa, so many. Now, his contract says...
Oh, it's three special assignments, I believe.
Yeah.
It's
not on vacation.
When he's on special assignment.
He's on special assignment. That's the way that it's labeled. It's all the same. We have great chemistry. Whether it's Danny, Chris, we have fun. We just laugh and... you know, I don't get too much into the analysis myself because I'm not comfortable with doing that too often, talking about guys route running and all that. I let, you know, Danny's a star at doing that, so I let him kind of shine when it comes to strategy and analysis and just kind of call the play.
You know, we talk about a team kind of coming together and you know, over course of time and experience. How is it different between you and Danny from the first year that you two were together to now?
Great question. I don't think we step on each other nearly as much. I think we can pick up when we're done based on inflection, based on the play, based on timing. And after 5 years now, I think that we have just a real good feel for when we're done. That it rarely happens. It happens once in a while, but if you go back and listen to probably games from year one, it happened quite often. But that's the thing about baseball. There's so many games, chemistry forms quickly, and you do it enough with the same... with the same colleague, the same partner, you're going to start clicking pretty soon.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to be at most of the games, but when I have listened to you guys on the radio, I think you guys do a good job. So I'll end it on a compliment to you and to Danny and to Chris and the entire gang here and appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you, and we have about a minute left in the show today, but thank you for all your time throughout the summer. It was a trying year, an emotional year, with what happened to Terry earlier in the summer, but you handled everything great. You wanted a chance to be in that chair, and you did a great job.
Well, I appreciate that. And when I do these shows, I try and be as honest and candid and give the fans as much information as possible. Sometimes it's difficult because you need to step around some delicate things, but I appreciate, you know, you've done a nice job kind of setting things up, and I appreciate our fans. I mean, there aren't many clubs where... we are where we are, and when we have 23,000, 24,000 fans out there, we've had tremendous support, and hopefully we can reward them in the next year.
Thanks again for your time every Sunday. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Corey.
Now, Rob Anthony, we thank him for joining us again. A special edition of Inside Twins a week from today in Chicago. Kind of a broadcaster's roundtable to wrap up the season with Danny, myself, Dick, and Bert. Should have some fun with that from Chicago next weekend. We thank you for listening. Baseball coming up here on a beautiful Sunday at Target Field. Twins and the Mariners, rubber game of this series. It'll be Hector Santiago for the Twins and Taiwan Walker for Seattle. Stay tuned. Chris Atterbury in the pregame show is next, right here on your home for Minnesota Twins baseball.
You've been listening to Inside Twins, brought to you by Continental Diamond, home of the best diamonds outside of Target Field.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.